Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning and welcome to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. I'm Kendra Petroni, and today we're going to put the spotlight on two sisters who took their mother's homemade Italian cooking and turned it into a restaurant empire. Christine and Carla Pallotta are the head chefs and co-owners of Nebo right on Atlantic Ave in Boston. You've seen them win throwdowns with Bobby Flay on the Food Network, and we have them here in studio to share their incredible story. Hi, ladies. Good morning.
Hello. How are you?
Oh, I love the two of you. You're so like powerful in sync. I love it. Let's start with your mom. What is your favorite memory of her cooking in the kitchen? Because I know this was sort of the inspiration of how you guys got this whole entire empire going. But what's your favorite memory of her cooking?
I think it's a couple of things. For her, for me, it's being in bed in the morning and hearing her in the kitchen below. And I could hear the rolling pin going and the snapping of the pasta.
Oh, my
And
gosh.
That would always, I would be like, we're having raviolis today. I could tell we're having
That's
raviolis.
That's so funny. You would know right away.
I would know right away, yep. And then I would run downstairs, and I wanted to use the fork to help her finish off the edges for the ravioli shape and everything. And then we'd get a sheet, put it on her bed, because you had nowhere to lay the stuff out. You'd put it on her bed, and then we would line it all up and throw
so
the pasta
would
all
dry
over.
On the sheet.
Yeah. And what time was this all happening at?
Like, she'd be in the morning. Like 5 in the morning doing it.
Imagine, like, yeah. I have three young children now, and I could not even begin to imagine how to do that. That's amazing
to
me.
It was natural. It's natural to her. It's just,
wow. That was her pride and joy. My memory of my mother, honestly, with the food was that she would sit at the table right after, you know, she put the food down for everybody, and there was this pause. And that pause was always to see your reaction to her food. She wanted to hear her food was good, and she still does it to this day.
Oh, yes, she
I mean, there's this definite pause, and she waits to see what everybody has to say. Because for her, that was her one love, and that's what she did really well.
Sometimes we hold out as long as we can to see.
Stop
and she's like,
it.
Oh, yeah, she's like, hello.
And we're
like, yeah. She's like, well. And we're like, oh, yeah, it's delicious.
She's that's 85, and she still does that.
Yeah.
Wow, she's only 85. That's so awesome. How did you guys both know? Because, I mean, you both had careers before you got into the restaurant business, correct? You both?
Yeah. So Christina went to Northeastern. I was already a hair colorist and hairdressing for, God, about 7 years before her at least. And I knew I was going in to do something with fashion no matter what. I won a full scholarship to FIT in New York for pattern making and tailoring, and I turned it down. Ended up going to hairdressing school, opening my own place. And she went to Northeastern, graduated, and we had a retirement party for her.
Stop.
We were like, she's never going to go to work. So we had a retirement party.
It was true.
And then she took a year off. She went to Hawaii. She went to Italy for a summer. And then called my father and said, I want to go to hairdressing school. She's the most expensive hairdresser there's ever been.
Stop
and
it.
So then she came to work with me at my salon at the time.
And how long did you guys do that before?
I was 27 years.
I was 17.
Yeah.
This is all before Nebo.
This is all before.
I opened my first business. I got the building when I was 20, and I opened just the month that I turned 21.
Wow.
And so we
then
had
I had a midlife
salons.
Crisis.
Yeah, I was going to. So how did you go from that, which is also hard to do to get to that point alone, but how did you go from that to wanting to run, start, and create this amazing restaurant?
Well, let me tell you first. First, I opened the hair salon. It's hair salon. 9 months later, I opened a tanning salon. And then Christine joined me, and we went around the corner and opened a much bigger place that had full-service spa type thing. So we were very successful. We had, 2,700 clients by the time we left.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and a lot of people had worked for us. So we were very – and then she came to work one day.
I'm like, I'm
and
done.
Everything changed.
And everything
Tell her
changed.
Why you were done.
Yeah,
oh,
what
I knew
happened?
I was done. We were sitting there, standing. I met this new client of mine, and I started doing her hair. And she said something to me, and I said, oh, that's so nice. And Carla gives me a dirty look through the mirror across the room, and I'm like giving her a look
and I'm
back.
I'm steering
like,
her down.
What are you looking at? And we're going back and forth. And then finally it dawned on me, and I was like, oh, no. So I looked at my new client, and I said, I have to ask you something. And she smirked, and I said, did you just tell me your husband passed away? And I said, that's so nice. She goes, yes, you did, and laughed. And I said, it's time. It's time. It's not. It's just, it's going in one ear out the other now, and I need a new challenge.
And so what did you? What made you go to food? Just
honestly,
the natural?
We would always go on the way home from work to my mom's house to eat, and she would go with my father to Florida for the winter, so then we would go out to dinner every night. And every time we went out, I don't like, if you're going to have junk food, give me really bad junk food.
Good
but
junk
a good
food.
Quality right. junk yeah. food. Give me really good food. I don't like that in-between, middle-of-the-road kind
I
of
agree.
Food. Like, just get by, like, pretend you're something you're not. So we'd go out to eat, and I said to Carlo, sitting at the table, I'm like, you know, I want to go out. We would order 6 or 7 appetizers. And they would look at you like you were being cheap. And I was, like, looking at the waiter like, actually, no. I'm spending a lot more money on appetizers than getting the boring salad and the entree.
Yeah.
Trust me. So I looked at her, and I said, you know, I want to open a restaurant as if you're sitting in Ma's kitchen. There's always 6 or 7 things on the table.
Yes.
And she goes, yeah, that's funny. That's great. And I said, no, really. I want to open a restaurant. I'm going to open a restaurant. She goes, well, you never worked a day in your life in a restaurant. We never waitressed, hostess. We never did anything like that. I go, so what? I go, we have common sense. Like, how difficult could this be?
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. So I looked at her and I said, you have 3 months. Are you coming with me or what? And she's like, you're serious? I said, yeah. She goes,
I said, I'm done.
She's like, all right, I guess I have no choice. I'm going to come with you.
Yeah. I know. So that was it. Just
that was it.
We're moving
we
on.
Had, we went to my father afterwards, and
I thought he'd shoot us.
You know, this whole show is about women,
right.
And accomplishments and stuff. And we had parents that never said no to us as far as what we could do. And so we went to my father the next day, and I want to tell you, my father took his retirement money to open my first hair salon for me, and I didn't know at the time. And when he told me, I was like, "What if I don't make it?" He's like, "Well, you have your hands. You go back to work." And I was like, okay. And so we go to him with this idea, and he was like, great, do it. I said, are you crazy? He goes, look it. Business is business. Numbers is numbers. Hospitality is the same. He said, it's just a different product and the quality control. He goes, there's nothing different than what you're doing.
You only have one problem. You two don't know how to cook.
Did he say that?
Yeah. We were like, we don't know how to cook.
I could cook to get by, but I was.
I was
going to
ask you, did you ever cook personally? I mean, for yourselves?
No, 200-300 people.
I used to do a cereal parfait, like 3 different kinds of cereal in one glass. It was amazing.
Come on.
Yeah, seriously.
My mother didn't want you to cook. She didn't want you in her kitchen. She didn't want anybody
to
take her
job away. So your mom did
everything. So she did everything. And so we spent 5 weeks writing a business plan. And the day we turned it into our accountant was the day we found our location. I mean, that was how fast it happened.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It was really fast. And we had this magnificent, magnificent clientele from our hair salon and spa. And I wrote them a really beautiful note saying thank you for inviting us to your life. I mean, we went to their weddings, their Christmas.
Well, it's a long relationship, and you know,
and it's one-on-one with hairdressing. So we
up close
really
and personal, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And we just told them we're going on to a new venture. They thought we were crazy, but they all come. Yeah. They all come.
That's unbelievable. I mean, just the process from going from one successful career and then jumping into something totally different.
We
like I would
no
have thought you both. Cooked all the time with your mom or at home.
3 weeks before we opened, we said, Ma, you got to get in here. She's like, okay, so now you put some of this, a little of that.
Well, that was my next question. Like, did she ever write anything down?
No.
Because my parents, grandmothers, never. They were like, oh, it's just a little bit of that.
We tried that once.
I'm
it
like,
was a major battle.
It
did not work. I'm like, let's put them on index cards. She's like, well, some of that. I'm like, well, what is some of that?
Yeah. Well,
so
I don't know. I look at it.
Yes. Touch and feel. So we go to the restaurant. I said, you can't teach people a little of this, a little of that. She was like, well, that's how I teach.
Because we didn't hire professional cooks.
Christine
and I were going to be the chefs. We were going to do the menus, the recipe, the food cost. And then we were going to take people and train them how to cook. So now we need standard recipes.
Right. So how did she do that?
Everything, when she would do the pasta, she'd put the flour on the board. We'd take the flour off the board and put it in a measuring cup. She would take the regatta, put it on, we'd take it, we'd put it in a measuring cup. We did like instant
rewind
with
everything. Oh, my God.
Yes. Instant rewind.
And then in 3 weeks, that was it. And we still, to this day, we don't hire professional cooks or professional chefs. We start everybody that comes in our restaurant as a dishwasher or a salad.
Yeah.
And we tell them, we'll teach you. And so nobody has a position in my kitchen. It's everybody's the same, and your job description is anything that needs to be done to make our guest happy.
But I don't know if you know, this is our second restaurant. We had a second location.
Yes.
Our first one was in the North End. And
yes.
Then we moved over to the waterfront.
But I still cannot believe that you would pick up the flour off of the board and put it in the measuring cup, and you had to do that for everything.
Yes. Well, the other thing is, even if we didn't have to do that, you know, we do a recipe on the stove, and you have to understand, we're making food to order.
Right.
But the prep is for 500 people.
Right. Yeah.
And so that was the biggest thing, is what do we prep ahead of time? What can we do that's still fresh that morning? You know, we make it in the morning and have it ready to serve the individual dishes. So you're cooking in a very different way.
I'm amazed. I don't even know how you guys did that. How you had
either.
Her come in and organized it, because, I mean, your restaurant, I've been there. I mean, the food's amazing. Everything is organized. Your menu is beautiful. I don't know how you did that without.
Well, we laugh because some days, you know, if we're in another chef's kitchen, we're like, maybe we should have trained in a chef's kitchen. They have shortcuts. How do they do these shortcuts? We don't do things like this.
Tricks, things they learned at school that make it easier for you.
Yeah, but you guys
and
are.
And it takes time.
I think you guys are doing just fine. And who does what? Who handles, does one do cooking, one do front of the house?
Christine and I are both, we call ourselves shooks, chef cooks, because we didn't go to chef school. But to be honest with you, you know, the chefs in the city say to us, you are the chefs, you run the kitchen.
Right.
And that's what it is. It doesn't matter if you went to school or didn't go to school. You run the kitchen. So we both do recipes, menu, food cost, food purchase and that stuff. And then I usually do the training for staff that's front of the house, hospitality. That mm-hmm. was my thing at the old salons and stuff. And Christine does all the stuff to do with social media and stuff. But at nighttime, she stays at the kitchen and she watches everything, makes sure it comes out right. And I'm on the floor talking to the guest.
How many people do you have working for you right now, currently?
We're in the wintertime, so we're probably around, I don't know, 86, 80-something.
Wow. Do you ever?
It depends. It goes up, it goes down.
I don't like to think about it.
But do you ever both just look at each other and go, did we actually do this?
Well, I mean, when we did.
When we did do that was when we moved from the first location. We were there for 8 years and our landlord tripled our rent. And I was like, oh, that's funny.
See ya, yeah.
I was like, see you later, buddy. And she's like, well, where are we going? What are we doing? I'm like, I don't care. Well, let's go to Italy for a year. I was like, whatever.
Let's just go to Italy.
I'll tell you something. Sure. You know something? My father instilled in us that you could do anything you want. But Christine's definitely that person that just has nerve like all the way. She always figures she can do something else. And I don't know if
it's a good way
got
to think.
Old. I'm going to be 60. I don't want to start anything over again.
But that is such a good way, no matter what age you are, that's such a good way to think because what else are you going to do?
What are we going to do?
And we say that. We say that to our nephews. We say that to some of our close friends, their young kids, that the whole thing is you try again and you try something different and it keeps life interesting.
So that's we had to get a location, but I was like, well, if it comes up, it comes up. We had no liquor license. We only managed our landlords. So that was a big issue. And it's just weird the way things. My brother had worked at the Boston Harbor Hotel for 20 years. His office was there. And they tripled his rent or doubled his rent. And a few months he went to the building we're in now, 520 Atlantic Ave.
And his office is there now, too.
He moved his office. He was like, go to hell. I'm not paying double the rent here. So now we're stuck without a place. And I'm like, I don't have a liquor license, and the alcohol commission was near my old location, and I used to go, hey, guys, got a liquor license? They used to laugh at me every day. They laughed, and I was like, yeah, I know, you don't get a license. And this day, I'm like, hey, guys, you get a license? And they're like, yeah, one just went into bankruptcy. I'm like, what's that mean? They're like, blind auction. I'm like, oh, all right. I know we're going to get
a bid in.
They're like, just put a bid. And I'm like, well,
I
know.
Is that what you have to do?
Yeah.
See, I have no idea.
For us, we did because there was nothing actually available at the board. So this is.
So then that comes. And then my brother calls us and he's like, oh, why don't you come to my office? And I'm like, all right, what's he want me to see? His new office? I guess we'll visit your office. And we get there. And then where my location is now, he has my contractors there. And the landlord's there, and he's like, what do you think of this space? And I laughed, and I go, well, it's just an empty space with some walls and everything.
Years.
And I laughed, and I
was
said, but we're going to, I like this space. I said, we're going to sandblast the ceilings. I go, we're going to sandblast the big cement columns. I know there's metal girders. We're going to put a window in, blow that wall open. And they're like, well, that's 100,000. That's 100,000.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I laughed and I go, well, we got to do it. We got to do it right.
She had this vision of the first time we opened the first restaurant of what she wanted her restaurant to be. And that's not what we ended up in.
Yeah.
And this was exactly the space that she wanted to do what she wanted to do.
It was my dream space. I knew
so
exactly.
So she knew as soon as she walked in the door, this is the space I want.
And they were like,
Christine has very definite
the
ideas.
The landlords wanted us.
Wants.
They were like, you know what? We want you here. At the time, they really didn't know that we were leaving the other location. And we're like, okay. So then it just fell into place. We were very fortunate both times finding locations.
And the liquor license came up for auction. It was Joe Tetchy's.
He was across the street
from our original restaurant and had it for, I don't know, 80 years.
He went bankrupt.
And they went to auction, and we put a bid in, and we got it.
Yeah.
So everything was meant to be. Yeah.
I am dizzy listening to this.
We got off
my
story.
Father always said, no matter what, remember, it's the three of you, the two sisters and my brother. It's always the three of you. You have each other. Don't you ever
stick together.
You stick together forever. Well, my father got his dream. He has his three children all in one building together.
That is location is like a dream location.
At the time, it wasn't. Because if you go back 5 years ago, you really only had
5 and a half years.
Vertex, the courthouse, and
that was it.
Maybe Trade next door that had just opened a year ahead of
That's
us.
That's a good point. It's changed a lot.
And
I mean,
in
you're
5 years, it just exploded.
You guys are in prime.
Exploded.
Everything, walking, traveling.
Yes.
I mean, it's just, there
it has
is.
Definitely become that. When we went there, it wasn't. It was a chance that we took, but it wasn't. But you asked a question, and you said the thing we were going to say to you is when we got to the new location, you know, you're like, what did you think of yourself? How did you do this? And it's so funny. The first location, we were crazy constantly. We worked 8 years, day and night, no vacations, and that's how it was. And then we opened the second one. And it went so easy.
3 months into it.
Just went. It's just like we learned everything and it came and it was natural.
But 3 months into it, we just actually, because we did the whole build out, I mean, from scratch, it was crazy. I got my outdoor patio that I always wanted and we just looked at each other. We're standing against the bar and I go, how did this even happen? Did we really have the other space for 8 years? Because I feel like, how did this happen? And how did I get here?
It
seemed just right. It was just, we were very, very blessed. It went so smoothly.
She goes, she actually said, do we miss the party?
I go,
because it went so easily.
I go, did we miss the party? We were laughing. I'm like, what happened here? Yeah.
But you're both very strong, very smart, very intelligent women who know what you want. And you're not naive. So you just go into it. And that mindset of, look, we're going to just do it. We're going to just do it. There's no little iffy stuff behind you. There's no gray area. It's
Look
just,
it.
This is what we're going to do. And
that's
if
my saying. There's no gray area. There's black and there's white.
Right.
That's it. Yep.
Christine and I, we gather information. I mean, I'm crazy. I write lists on everything, and I gather, and we learn everything. We listen to people. And when we first got to this space, the contractor, Kafco, came in, and we met with the guys that were going to do the whole hood system and the venting system upstairs and stuff. And, you know, four engineers show up with Kafco. And the guy says to us, my Christine and me, you don't have to be here. And I said, well, I want to be here. He goes, well, you're not going to understand it. And the owner of Kafco, Ed, said, they will understand it. They understand everything that's going on. So I'm going to tell everybody now, expect them to be here every day because they know exactly what you're talking about. My father did carpentry. My father did some construction. Everything that we do, we learn from. So we learn from the first restaurant, and we listen.
It was that typical thing when we first were opening the other location. Salespeople would come in, and they would go, I'd like to speak to the owner. I'm like, we are the owner? No, I really want to speak to the owner. I said,
because it's almost unbelievable that you're that visible.
I'm like, are you looking for a man? And they were like, well, yeah. I said, guess what? We're never doing business together. That's it. I was like.
Well, that was going to be my next question, you know. Being strong women owners and bosses, what was that like? Because most people think in the restaurant business, you would think that most places have a head chef that's a female or an owner that's a woman, but it's a lot of men. So you guys coming in and you're so powerful and I love it and you're so strong. What was that like?
As far as the construction and all the people we've dealt with, contractors and stuff, they know we know our stuff. They respect that. They have from the very beginning. The people that own the building we're in, Boston Properties, the first guy from their company that came to deal with us, you know, he came in all gung-ho, and then we tell him, no, it's not going to do this. We're doing this. We're going to move the restaurant up one floor. We're going to hike the floor up. We're going to open up the back. And he at first was like in shock.
Well, they also wanted us to open on Sundays. And I was like, well, we don't work Sundays. They're like, well, no, you have to be open on Sundays. And I was like, that's not happening. I'm like, Sunday is family day. And they're like, they were adamant. They were putting it in the lease. I'm like, I guess this deal's not going through. And they're like, you wouldn't. I'm like, oh, I would. I go, look it. Seven days a week is burnout. We are the business, Carla and I. I said, so you're going to burn us out. You're going to burn my staff out. You're going to burn my equipment out. I go, and the business isn't there in this neighborhood for 7 days a week.
Right.
So just trust me with this. At some point, you have to trust me. And that kind of turned the whole ball
around.
You know,
one month down the road, all of a sudden, this guy is coming to us and saying to us, okay, what do you think we should do with this part of the building? Should we do this? Should we do that? So we earn their respect. And, you know, a lot of it is just earning respect. As far as the chefs and the other people in this industry, they were the same way from the beginning with us because they couldn't believe that we've never worked in this industry and we were willing to take a chance. And we've done so many, you know, occasions with them where we cooked with them and stuff. And they saw that we earned it. We didn't just go in there and say, okay, we're going to do this. We went and we worked hard side by side with them and did events. And
well, we did 8 years of not a vacation, not a day other than a Sunday off. I mean,
they saw it and they respected it.
So let's talk about the Bobby Flay influence because this is another part of your story that always fascinates me. I mean, you appeared on, was it the ninth season? I think it was the ninth season of The Throwdown with Bobby Flay. Yeah. I don't know if it was back in 2011. Was it 2011? I'm trying to do the math. It's funny. You don't even know. I know, well, the dish was zucchini. It was zucchini lasagna, right? And I remember you guys beat him. Like, and I remember thinking, watching the show, and I always watch the Food Network, and whenever you watch a cooking show or any show and it's somebody from Boston or somebody from your hometown, it's like, they're mine. Those are my people. Like, those are my people. And when you guys were on, I remember watching it live, you know, when it actually aired, thinking, oh my God, they're Boston, they're women from Boston chefs. And I was like, what? And then you won. How did that happen? How did you get on the show, the connection?
Funny thing is I tell Carla every day. So we did this, I don't know if you ever heard of How to Heroes.
Yes.
So she would do videos and she wanted three dishes with zucchini. And we did a zucchini carpaccio with gotha on it. We did a giambattia, which had the zucchini, the string beans, the tomato in it. And then we did the third dish. I'm like, what do you want to do? She's like, I don't know. I'm like, what about a zucchini lasagna? And she's like, tantrum. I hate lasagna.
Hate it.
I go, well, you don't have to eat the lasagna. You come up with a dish. So we had a big fight. I said, you know what? I'll see you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock for filming. You tell me what your third dish is. So we get there the next morning. She's like, fine, just do a zucchini lasagna. I'm like, all right, we'll do it. So we do the zucchini lasagna. A year later, we get a phone call, not knowing who it's from. They just said, we're going to do some filming in Boston, and we would like to have your vegetarian lasagna. And at the time, my father was sick, and I said, I'm sorry, thank you for the offer, but, you know, I don't want to do the show. Whatever it is, I want to stay with my father, you know, be around him, spend time with him. So they're like, you don't know what you're missing, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, I do know what I'm missing. I'd rather spend time with my father than do a television show. They came back like 6 or 8 months later. They're like, we're going to do a show in Boston and we want to do a vegetarian lasagna. We're like, all right, let's do it. And every day I whisper to Carla in her ear, zucchini lasagna, because it is ridiculous.
People come from all over the country.
I bet they do.
Come from all over the country. I would never believe it, but the funny thing is we now have one person who spends 8 hours a day just making zucchini lasagna.
Come on, really?
He calls himself Mr. F and zucchini lasagna.
Stop it.
It's all he does.
Stop.
Yes. Is it a constant order?
It is, all the time? Because they show Bobby Flay's show
every three months. Yeah.
And so it's shown all the way across, all over the country. And so we get people from all over the country that come in here and
they want
the lasagna.
Is there anything else you would like to do with television? You know, that now that you guys are so well known for that, you know, being on the Throwdown with Bobby Flay. I mean, is there something you haven't done yet that you'd like to do when it comes to
done,
that?
You know, the Today Show and the morning show. We've been with Lydia Bastianich, and we actually opened Lydia Bastianich's stage show when she did a book. And, you know, Ming's side. We've done so many. Look it.
We don't do competitive shows. We've been offered so many times. I hate competition shows.
I was going to say, would you ever do that?
It was easy, casual, friendly thing. We didn't know he was going to surprise us.
Yeah.
But, you know, we went on Kelly and Mayan and Hoda and Kathy Lee. I mean, you get to talk to them and meet them, and it's really nice because they have such different educations and their experience is different. So it's nice to hear.
Well, whatever you're doing, keep doing it because you're clearly, you're just so amazingly successful, and it really inspires me because no, honestly,
I say it all the time. I go,
do you know the funniest thing? You say that, so it's really funny. I see you at the gym, and for me, it's a surprise that so many people say to me, "Oh, I love your restaurant. I come to your restaurant. I always go there. I love the food." We always say we wish we could be fly on the walls on everybody's car or house afterwards to hear what they think of the restaurant.
I think my sweetest compliment was last week when my nephew texted me and he said, "Auntie," we were just talking back and forth. He's like, "I'm so proud of you and Auntie Carla." And I'm like, "You are?" He's 31 years old. I'm like, he's like, "You have a great reputation. You started an amazing business. And when people tell me how much they love you and Nebo, I'm so happy." And I'm like, "Oh my God, what nephew says that to you?" And
it's,
I'm like,
well deserved.
Amazing.
And he also says we're his biggest encouragement for his business.
He said, "You're my best
support system."
Because
he's like, "You push me and push me to do one." We believe in him.
Just the steps that you've described to me from the very beginning, I mean, it's most people would be afraid. They wouldn't take the risk. They would weigh the pros and cons and think, you know what, even if there's one con, forget it. I can't risk it. I don't want to go for it.
It's funny you said that because if I ever worked in a restaurant, I would have never done it. I'll be honest with you.
That's
a
good point.
If I ever had worked for somebody else and worked in a restaurant and saw everything that it entails, I would have said too many negatives. Absolutely not.
Right.
No way.
Thank you,
Thank
ladies.
You so much.
I love you both. I want to go hang out with you.
I should have brought you some lasagna today.
Hey, I'd eat it. I'd eat it at 10 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, anytime. Well, thank you to Christine and Carla Bellotta for being in the spotlight today on Exceptional Women. We talk to celebrities and CEOs, but we're also interested in your neighbors, coworkers, and friends who are quietly making an impact in their communities. Email us if you know somebody that you'd like to suggest. We'd love to hear from you. And be sure to join us every Sunday morning at 7:30 for another edition of Exceptional Women. Thanks for listening and have a great day, everyone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.